could the wild hunter win you a certain type of the show?
Anyway, this king and queen, they had 12 sons. And the queen was always longing to have a daughter. But no such luck. And she often sat down at the window and looked out at her 12 sons playing a game of hurling or something outside. And the tears would come to her eyes saying, "Wouldn't it be lovely to have just one little girl out there with them boys?" She loved the boys, but she wanted a girl. And one day she was crying, and when she looked around, she saw this old, bent woman. I think I told you I was stuck in an elevator with two old women one time for 36 hours. '85 and '90. And I may as well finish this now when I started. And now 36 hours in the event, you're bound to feel like doing something, right? And I was down on my two knees praying and gasping. And one of them had an umbrella, and I'm not joking, it was as sharp as a needle. And she said, "If you do something there," she said, "I'll put this umbrella through you," and she meant every word of it. But I got my own back the next night. That's another story. I got my own back on them. And my teeth, they could last it out by it. They did. If I could choke them, I would. But anyway, she saw this old woman standing beside her. And the woman said, "Did you really mean," she said, "what you said a while ago? You said you'd give anything," she said, "if you had a daughter." The queen said, "I would," without thinking. She said, "I would." Now, said the old woman, "Would you give your 12 sons for one daughter?" She said, "I would." And the minute she said it, she was sorry. She looked around. The old woman had disappeared. Now she inquired, she had no idea how this woman could come in where she was without being seen by somebody. Nobody saw her coming or going. And she forgot all about it. But she discovered she was expecting a child. And the day the child was born, the king and the 12 sons was in the room, and a little girl was born. And the minute the little girl was born, the 12 sons turned into 12 swans and flew out through the window over the castle wall and flew away. And the king saw that he was fainted when he saw this. And of course the queen immediately thought to what the old woman said. But she could never bring herself to tell the king what she said. And of course there was tears shed and there was grief in the palace. And the little girl was growing up to be a beautiful girl. And as she grew older, she used to see her mother sitting by the same window she was when she was looking out at the boys playing the hurling. Hurling is played with sticks like hockey, but it's played on ground. And one day she pulled her mother by the coat. She said, "Mammy, why are you crying?" She said, "I cannot tell you," she said, "child, I cannot tell you." But anyway, when the little girl grew up, she was about 15 or 16, she said to her mother this day, "Mother, I always see you crying at the window. What's wrong? If you don't tell me, I'm going to leave." So the mother sat her down and told her then that she loved her. She wanted to have a little girl, and because of that she lost the 12 brothers. She explained what happened. And the little girl said to the mother, "I won't rest or sleep the second night on one bed or take a second meal off on the same table. Till I find out what happened to my brothers, or where are they, or can I bring them back?" So she was travelling, the mother told her, of course, about the turning into swans the day she was born, and everywhere she went, passing lakes, she always wanted to look, see if there any swans anywhere. But no, she could find no hide or trace of them, till one day, about a month after she was walking, she saw an old man sitting outside a log cabin. And she asked the old man, "Did you see any swans around?" she said, "anywhere." "Well, come to think of it," he said, "I did. There are 12 swans," he said, "comes on that lake every day, one morning." And she said, "Who lives in that castle?" "Oh," he said, "don't go near that castle, my child. There's a witch lives in that castle," he said. "And anybody who goes near it," he said, "never comes back." So the girl was thinking to herself, I wonder, could the swans be my brothers? So up she goes to the castle. And when she came in, the door was open and there was a table set for 12 people. With food on it. And she sat there wondering and looking around. And when night was coming, when the sun had set, she heard the flop-flop with the swans coming to the door. They stopped down and they turned into 12 fine men and they walked in. And the minute they walked in, one of them said, "Somebody was here." And they said, "No." And they said, the eldest brother said, "Somebody was here, let's find that person and kill him." So they found the girl in the corner of the room. And she had a terrible time convincing them that she was their sister. And she told the story how their mother told her about the 12 swans and then they believed her. And she asked the oldest brother, "Is there any hope of ever getting you back to your normal stature?" And they said, "We don't know. But there is an old man, wise man who lives far away from here. And tomorrow you go to the wise man and ask him and meet us here at night and tell us, is there any hope of us being ourselves ever again?" So she went to the wise old man and she told him the story. And she asked, "Is there any hope of getting these 12 swans back to their human form again?" He said, "There is no hope, only one," he said, "and that is impossible to do. You must," he said, "if you're willing to make a human sacrifice," he said, "a terrible sacrifice, you will do it. But I don't believe you or anybody in this world can do what you have to do to get them back. You must," he said, "collect all the white fluff." You know the white fluff that grows in the bog and on the water and the wind takes it away like that? You must gather that fluff. At the same time, you must carry it down and buy a spinning wheel and spin that into thread. And make 12 sweaters for your brother. And believe me, it's hard to get enough of that fluff to fill a cup. Because the minute you grab it, in the Irish they call it canamon wan, white canamons. The head falls off them. There was a story told about the canamons once, that their head was awful light. And that's why they call them the white canamon. The head falls off them awful quick. And he said, "You must knit them 12 sweaters," he said. "It doesn't matter how long it takes you to knit it. So long as you do it within a 10-year period." And today give somebody 12 sweaters to do with wool and to take them about 20 years, some people. But he said, "That's not all. While you're doing this, you cannot say one word to anybody. You cannot speak one word. If you speak one word, the spell is broken. It's no good. So she had to keep silent and do this at the same time. But she came back and she told her brothers what the wise man said. And she said, this is the last time I can speak one word. Tomorrow morning, she said, I'm going to try. And the brothers kissed her and wished her well. And they said, you can live here while you're doing that. And that's the only time they could speak to one another. She lived in a different part of the castle. The witch, they put her in a place where the witch, who used to come and supervise them, could not see her. She went and got a spinning wheel and went out collecting these white cannons. And she collected a bag full and she came back and she started carding it and putting it in, making it into thread with the spinning wheel. And in 3 years, she had 2 sweaters made. And she worked hard, or never stopped working. And a young prince was passing one day while she was picking these white cannons. And he saw her, and to make a long story short, he fell in love with her, or whatever you call it. And although she couldn't speak, he said he'd like her to come home with him. She nodded the head, but she pointed to the spinning wheel, that she'd have to take the spinning wheel too. And the young prince took herself on the spinning wheel, and he said to her, you can keep on doing what you want, I don't know why you're doing it, but keep on doing it, I won't ask you for anything. And he took her to his place, and he married her. And his mother told him, you're marrying, she said, a deaf and dumb girl. He said, what in the hell is the matter with you? He said, I love the girl. It's none of your business. But she said, that girl is going to bring you trouble. But anyway, she lived there in the castle, and all she was doing, and the mother used to say to him, what does she do? She's collecting this stupid thing every day, and she starts knitting, and what was she supposed to be doing? What kind of a wife is she? But she kept at it and kept at it, and because she was doing famous, she was 7 years, she had 8 sweaters done. And another year passed and she had another one, 9. And another year passed and she had 10. Now she became expecting a child. And she was still knitting away and knitting away what she was expecting. And the night the child was born, the witch came and took away the child, killed the hen, and put the blood of the hen into the cot where the baby was. And when the king's son came in the morning to look at the child, he saw the blood in the cradle, and he was completely heartbroken. Because naturally he thought that she committed the murder, killed the child. And of course, I told you so came in after him, the mother. I told you so. I told her she was no good. She couldn't be any good. She's there like a stupid clown. She never speaks. Now she kills her child. And you know, there's nothing more satisfying than a mother-in-law getting the better of the wife. Most satisfying thing in the world. And the king's son, the young prince, couldn't do a thing. He was heartbroken. And he told them not to do anything to her, but of course they took her away and locked her up. But he insisted that they leave the spinning wheel with her while she was locked up. And she was knitting and knitting and knitting away. And she had 11 sweaters. And 2/3 of the other sweater. The only thing was left, there was one sleeve of the 12th sweater she hadn't finished when they took her out to burn her. And she was put over the stake and the fire was lit. And then she, that's when she was still knitting. And that's when she fell down and she said, "My brothers, why have you forgotten me?" And the 12 swans came through the sky and the flap of their wings put out the fire. And as they came to ground, she threw a sweater over each and every one of them. But the youngest, because the sweater wasn't finished, he had the wing of a swan on his right side all his life. And this is when the people started asking questions. The youth, the young prince said that he knew there was something wrong, but he didn't know what it was. Then she told the story about the witch. The mother told the story how she promised to give her sons away for one girl. And they went to the witch's castle, and there they found the baby safe and sound. Because the witch had no idea they were going to get her. And they took the witch back and burned her at the stake. And everybody lived happily ever after. They went back to the witch's castle, and this fella had the wing that the sleeve wasn't ready. He had to wear a swan wing all his life. Now, just shows you, there are evil people in this world. People will make a bargain just to be bad.
Chinskotun, the Hoyt Ulskan, the Hagen Guide, is a Padahon Joinu. Don't have a Shafi Hopeyard. The Koska, the outside, I can say the Skype, I can't hear.